This week on the RV Podcast, we learn about having less junk and more journey from Marissa and Nate, a young couple with a very popular YouTube channel who full-time in their RV with their young children. It all started in an effort to declutter and downsize.
We initially started just looking at downsizing. We didn't even know this lifestyle existed. And then once we started researching downsizing, we come across this lifestyle. And Nathan's like, what if we put it on wheels and travel? And I'm like, that sounds awesome.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hey everybody, so glad you chose to put us in your ears this week. Besides the Less Junk, More Journey couple, we have RV news, your questions, tips, and an off-the-beaten-path report. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael. This episode is coming to you from the road, and it may sound a little different because we don't have all our normal podcast gear with us. We made a very impromptu trip to Arizona this week, and because we flew out here, we didn't have room for all that equipment.
We ended up borrowing an RV from a friend, though, and we did have an awesome time boondocking in the desert, hiking, exploring, climbing a little mountain, first up at Quartzsite in Arizona, and then later down south closer to Yuma in the Kofa National Wildlife Refuge. And boy, did we have fun.
We really did. I'd recommend to anybody where we ended up. Yeah, quite by circumstance.
Yeah, you know, we travel with what we call serendipity. In other words, we start off heading for one place and we see something that causes us to say, what's that?
We ended up at Castle Dome Mining Museum, and I would recommend that to everybody.
Oh my gosh, that was an amazing place. It was like 10 miles down a dusty, bumpy, washboard, unimproved road in the desert.
Remember, we borrowed an RV.
Oh yeah, we did borrow an RV. We don't want our friend to who let us borrow it think we wrecked it up. We didn't.
I drove.
Yeah, you drove because you had to go very slow and you didn't think I'd go slow enough.
And that's right.
I would have, yeah. It was very bumpy, so Jen went very slow. It took us almost an hour to drive down that road.
But an hour well spent.
But anyway, you'll see that video in a couple of weeks. We'll have a video this coming Saturday on Quartzsite, which is just an amazing place. We've put off going there for a long time. I know it gets very, very crowded in January, and we went right after most of the big crowds had left. It was still a lot of people there, but I take back everything I thought about Quartzsite. It was really a great, great place. We'd have a lot of fun out there.
I'm glad that we went there because we'd heard so much about it, and I thought, why would anybody want to go there and be jammed in that many people? And I just thought it sounded dreadful, but it was really very nice.
It was gorgeous, actually, in the desert. And then when we made our way down towards Yuma, the place we told you about 10 miles down the road, you'll see the video on that. And we did put up a post on one of the things we found, and that was we met some people who just a day or two before were exploring some of these abandoned silver mines in the area, and they came across this treasure trove, I'm not kidding, of old Levi's that were abandoned in this mine shaft probably in the late 1890s, and it turns out these things are worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I know. I find it hard to believe. I mean, they got holes in them and, you know, they look kind of ratty, but I'm surprised they're still in such good shape.
Well, there's a collector for everything. But anyway, that was, we have a post up on RVLifestyle.com. You can read that and we'll show you more in the videos coming up. As we record this episode of the podcast, we are in Tucson, Arizona. We're attending an RV industry event called Dometic in the Desert, which is attended by a lot of industry folks and quite a few of our fellow RV lifestyle YouTube influencers. Dometic, of course, is a major player. If you have an RV, just look around and you'll see they make just about everything inside that RV. They are, as we said, a major player in the RV industry. They do a lot of technology innovations so RVers can go further and stay longer. That's their motto. And they make everything, such as RV coolers and refrigerators and toilets, air conditioning, heating, climate control devices, awnings, cooking, RV kitchen appliances, you name it, and Dometic makes it. They're planning some really exciting things. They're researching and developing improvements in lithium and solar energy products for RVers. So it's an important conference, and we've really enjoyed it. It's just beautiful at a beautiful place here.
Anyway, we're here learning about some of those developments and hanging out with a lot of our friends who also do RV blogs, YouTube channels, and the like.
And we should probably point out that our borrowed RV after our desert boondocking is sitting right now as we record this in the parking lot. And we and everyone else at this event are staying in the beautiful 5-star luxury Los Ventana Canyon Resort, which Dometic has literally taken over for this event.
And beautiful it is. Great spa, everything. I mean, just talk about contrast. From the stark beauty of the desert to the luxury of a 5-star resort, what an awesome week it has been.
Hey, this part of our podcast is brought to you by Dish Outdoors, which lets RVers pay as they go and watch HD satellite television from wherever they're camped with easy-to-set-up gear made with the RVer in mind. Jennifer and I have a Dish Outdoor system in our RV. We have a really exciting receiver called the Wally, very small satellite receiver, and it works with this new compact Dish Playmaker portable satellite antenna. It automatically connects to that antenna, which in turn automatically locks onto the strongest satellite system. And this whole Dish system is perfect for RVers because you don't have to have a long-term contract. You can just sign up for a month's worth of service at a time, cancel it, then pick it up in another month when you're doing however you're using your RV. We really are excited about being able to watch cable TV from the road, from just about anywhere. You just got to have a clear view of the southern sky. Normally, this Wally receiver and the Dish Playmaker antenna sell for a bundled price of $348. But if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle at checkout, you'll get $50 off that. And the whole bundle will then cost you just $298 after that RV Lifestyle discount. So, again, use that coupon code RV Lifestyle. You can get more information on the system. Go to rvlifestyle.com/dish.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
As public health workers strive to contain the coronavirus, which first surfaced more than a month ago in China, the effects of keeping people home and closing shops have the RV industry bracing for a hit on its supply chain. Many RV manufacturers get parts from Chinese factories. But as Chinese officials tell people to stay home and keep factories closed, many RV manufacturers are carefully watching the situation, wondering how factory delays, increased sickness, or mandatory quarantines could ripple through the supply lines and, possibly, a few months down the road, lead to production delays.
Have you heard about Yosemite National Park's firefall? Well, the time to view it is February 14th through the 27th, coming right up, and park officials are putting in restrictions this year in anticipation of large crowds. Now, for those unfamiliar, each winter, and usually about this time in February, when the sun is setting, its colors reflect on Horsetail Falls, which flows over El Capitan, making it look like bright orange lava is flowing down. That's why they call it the firefall. It's really spectacular, and it happens just before sunset, and it's become, year after year, a major tourist attraction. So, and in anticipation of the crowds this year, the National Park Service is requiring most visitors to park, get this, a mile and a half away and walk to the fall. It's also recommending that people bring flashlights and warm clothes for the walk back in the dark.
Those who camp by hauling a fifth wheel or other trailer with their pickup trucks might be interested in a story out last week about General Motors unveiling a new braking system that enables a pickup hauling a trailer to stop faster. The brakes reduce the stopping distance by using GM's eBoost braking system. Some are saying that the new technology is so good and improves safety so much that it should be mandatory.
One last story. A young coyote attacked a woman cross-country skiing in Yellowstone National Park last week, coming up from behind, pulling her to the ground. Other people in a snow coach saw that and came to the woman's rescue, scaring the coyote away. The woman did have puncture wounds to her head and to her arm, and officials later did capture the coyote, and it did not test positive for rabies. It's very rare for a coyote to attack a human. Officials say when an animal is very hungry, as apparently this one was, it can happen. And, of course, with the bad track record, the coyote was later captured and euthanized. This part of the podcast... Hey, all these stories, you can find out more about them. Links to the original stories with more details, they're listed in the show notes for this episode. And the show notes are kind of like a transcript of the whole podcast episode. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/280. This is the 280th episode, so rvlifestyle.com/280 will get you the show notes. And just scroll down to the news of the week, and you'll see links to each of those stories. This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power Bikes make these awesome bikes for RVers. I mean, they're for everybody who wants an e-bike, but RVers, man, every RVer wants to have an e-bike because they not only are fun transportation, but they let you really get out there. You can go as much as 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And Rad Power Bikes makes a number of different models. They meet a wide variety of rider wants and needs. You can ride pedal-free with throttle, doing all the work, five different levels of pedal assist, or you can pedal and yourself and combine throttle assist with your own pedaling. It's just really a fun way to get around. Perfect for people who want to get back into riding. You'll see Rad Power Bikes all over when you go RVing at RV parks and people who are boondocking. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and they can charge up real easily right from your RV. Rad Power Bikes priced half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because they deal directly with the consumer. No dealer retail markup chain to worry about there. If you mention RV Lifestyle checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off and free shipping on all their bike models. Again, if you use the coupon code RV Lifestyle, you can get an additional $75 off. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Well, this week's question comes to us by email from George, who is from Lakewood, Washington. And George writes, there are a lot of RV shows this month, and we're shopping for a new RV. My question is, are the bargains at RV shows really that good? How about for trade-ins? Is it a good place to trade in an RV? Are we better shopping there, or are we better visiting a dealership? Well, that's a good question, and it really depends on you doing your homework, because you'll always see at these things show prices, right?
Yeah, and normally they don't want to take those RVs back home with them, so they want to sell them.
Yeah, I mean, normally they do have to take them home because they got to prep them for you if you're going to buy them, but they bring these RVs there from their lots, so their inventory in their lots, and the idea is that more and more people will see them at an RV show, and thus they'll have a better chance of moving that inventory. So in that sense, they tend to mark them down pretty good.
Yes, and you want to make sure that you know you're buying from a good dealer.
Yeah, you want to make sure you know about the dealer. You know, I always say don't just go to a show and buy the first thing that you look at. Make sure you understand why you want that RV. I think a show is a great place to go sit in it and lie in the beds and move around in it. But do your research. If you've got a rough idea of what you want to look at and maybe buy, I would get a price at the dealership before the show or straight after the show and see if they are even better than the RV show. But in general, I think that you find some pretty good prices at RV shows. We go have been going to them now for 8 years, all the big ones we go to. And most of the time, I think the prices we see are rock bottom, or at least as about as close as you're going to get. You're not going to do that much better. Now, that's not saying that if you go to a dealership and something's been sitting on their lot for a couple of years or a year, last year's model, that you can't talk them into a really good price. But in general, the shows have really good prices, and you can buy there. And trade-ins are pretty good, too. They want to move that product at a show. That's why they have the stickers on them. And if you have a trade-in, usually they're equipped to go out and look at your trade-in right there on the spot and give you an offer.
And I think the prices should be a little bit lower when you go to a show, because you expect to pay a little bit more when you order everything just the way you want it. You have to be flexible when you buy from a show. Chances are you're not going to get exactly everything the way you want it.
Yeah, and in most cases, you're not going to take that RV home from the show, because they have to prep it, and they can't do that at the show, and they have to get it ready for you, and they got all that paperwork you got to sign. So you're going to buy it at the show. They're still going to take it back to the dealership, and you got to, you know, go back a few days later to sign it up. But, I believe in buying at an RV show, because you can look at so many different RVs in one location.
Because in a short time, you can have one rather than having to wait 8 months or 14 months.
Yeah. Some of the dealers, particularly for the smaller motorhomes, are 8 to 12 to 14 month delay if they're on that Sprinter chassis. And that's a long time to wait after you buy, yeah. All right, George, good luck to you. I hope you find what you want, and we do appreciate your question. If you have a question that you'd like us to answer or a comment you want to make on the things that we're talking about, we invite you to use our toll-free voice message line for the podcast. That number is 586-372-6990. That's 586-372-6990. Now, if you're driving and you can't write it down, don't worry. Just go to RV Lifestyle, our travel blog, RVLifestyle.com. And if you scroll down the page on the right-hand side, we've got it prominently listed there. But once more, that voicemail message for your questions or comments, 586-372-6990. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Battleborne Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. In fact, the folks at that sell Battleborne batteries are at this RV event that we're attending right now in Tucson. That's Sean and Dennis from Battleborne Batteries. They're giving a presentation before all these industry leaders tomorrow. We've been looking at a number of different rigs that are already equipped with Battleborne batteries, as is our RV, the one that Jennifer and I have that's back in Michigan, our leisure travel van. We put in our own Battleborne system and could not be happier with them. Lithium batteries, of course, that's the latest in RV technology. Sean Nichols from our Battleborne Batteries likes to say that lead is dead, and lithium certainly is the emerging choice for all RV power systems these days. That's because lithium batteries offer better performance than lead batteries. They charge faster, they charge fuller, they're longer lasting, and they'll fit in just about any RV, new or old. Folks at Battleborne will help you figure it out, whether it's Class A, Class C, a B van, travel trailer, fifth wheel, toy hauler, they can help you out. Check them out. The best way to go, first of all, to learn about them is through rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Time now for our interview of the week. And this week we continue our series of talking with other YouTube influencers out there, different folks who are out there doing YouTube stories about RV travel and the RV lifestyle. And I'm really excited about our guests today. They are Marissa and Nate. You know them as the couple from Less Junk, More Journey. They've been traveling across North America now for about 5 years. They started with just their little girl, and she's almost 6 years old now. And just a few months ago, they were joined by a little brother for their daughter, JJ, who is just a bundle of energy, and two kids, and this young couple traveling and talking about their adventures and life on the road. They're going to share with us their story. And some advice for you who perhaps would like to follow them in having less junk and more journey. We welcome them to the podcast as we start off with another interview of the week. We are delighted to have Marissa and Nate with us now. And you guys are coming to us from the back of your RV, right?
Live from the back of our RV, correct?
Yeah, thanks. Whoa.
We need flashing graphics. Live.
Yeah. It's not too cool.
Yeah. Listen, so many people, of course, know who you guys are. But for those who don't, let's just start with a little bit of the backstory. Introduce yourselves, how long you've been doing this, and how old the kids are.
Well,
so we're in our fifth year. It initially started, we had a hard time, you know, getting pregnant with Hensley and everything. And then we finally did have Hensley, and I heard kind of the question or comments, you know, Marissa said, I would do anything to be able to spend more time with Hensley. Of course, we had a house, you know, the 4-bedroom, 2-bath, the whole deal. We were looking to get in a bigger house because we had a kid. And I said, well, what about, I didn't know at the time, but people chose to live in RVs. Even you know, before maybe officially retire age, I said, what if we did that? Would that be crazy? And I didn't think she'd ever say yes.
Well, the word, would you do anything, got put to the test,
yes,
I guess.
Yes.
But we initially started just looking at downsizing. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know this lifestyle existed. And then once we started researching downsizing, we come across this lifestyle. And Nathan's like, what if we put it on wheels and travel? And mm-hmm. I'm like, that sounds awesome. So our daughter was one when we hit the road. She's now about to turn 6. Mm-hmm. And then wow. We also added a family member along the way, and JJ just turned 10 months. So it's been an awesome adventure.
Now, start a little bit with the title, Less Junk, More mm-hmm. Journey. To those of us who do this, that just speaks volumes. But for people who may not be familiar with the lifestyle or just looking into it, talk about that and how that has guided your travels and your whole lifestyle.
It was sort of a light bulb, I think, when we were in the house. We were sitting mm-hmm. on the couch, and we had all this room, you know, in the house. But we, like, spent, I swear, like 90% of our wake time on that couch, either talking or eating dinner. We ate dinner on the same couch. I'm like, why do we have all this space? Like, what are we doing with all this space? Like, this couch could literally be the same couch in an RV or in a cabin or a chalet or, you know, an Airbnb overseas. It could be anywhere. And so we started thinking, we just got all this stuff. And we couldn't travel like we wanted because we had the overhead of the house and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And the more stuff you buy, you just kind of want more stuff. And we found out that you fill the space you have. And so it wouldn't matter if we had 300 square feet or 3,000 square feet. It seems like we always filled it up. And I think that maybe that was the epiphany, was that couch. Maybe we should have kept that couch somewhere.
Well, not the couch itself, just the space. We just realized we thought we needed more. Like Nathan mentioned, we found out we were having a baby and we're like, we need more space. And we're like, we already had 4 bedrooms. Why would we need more space? But it's just this, like, this automatic thing that we're taught. It's like, we need more. But we kind of reversed it and thought, actually, what if we had less? How would that change our life? And how much more family time and adventure and travel could we get if we had less instead of more? And that's where the name came from.
Now, has that worked out for you? I mean, it's not an easy lifestyle, despite the fact that we all, in all of our videos, we show them all the good stuff, but it has its challenges. So how has that all worked out for you?
It's not perfect. I think And that's kind of how our channel started too. I mean, when we first started, there weren't nearly as many like lifestyle vloggers showing maybe more of the real life stuff, breaking down and struggles. It's more like people that did video kind of just sipped wine as the sun was setting behind them. And it's not that there aren't days like that, but most days aren't. I mean, we don't get time to be around a campfire that often. I mean, we still have regular routines and work and, you know, homeschooling now with Hensley. So if you've ever gone a vacation with kids, I mean, it's not that this is a vacation, but we have hard days with kids too. It's not like our kids never, you know, so the struggles you maybe have, or your viewers, your listeners have when they take a trip, I mean, those same struggles are going to happen in an RV too. And maybe even more so because the RV's breaking left and right sometimes, but still the end result, and that's why we use the word journey. You just see it, it's all together. It's packaged as a journey. You look back and it's still experiences. Even if they were tough at the time, they're still experiences. And that's better to me than maybe the mundane 9-to-5 where maybe it's easier at times, but we enjoy the struggle of some of that stuff.
Well, there's ups and downs and there's a lot of sacrifice doing this lifestyle, but we always say like it's worth all the things we give up. We get way more in return. So there are a lot of things that we have had to give up to live this lifestyle, but just the reward, there's so much payoff. And again, that's why we're in our fifth year. We're having a blast.
How you mentioned the challenge everybody faces too, earning a living. What'd you guys do before? How are you able to leverage that now on the road? Besides being big YouTube stars, of course, that's a help. Everybody thinks everybody gets rich when you're a YouTube star.
Right.
That is not the case. We keep telling them in these videos, but
no.
YouTube was like an accidental thing for us. I think.
Yeah, like, we don't have somebody like giving us a pedicure right now while we're doing this. It's like no. Like it's a lot. So we're introverts, and so we definitely. Which is like, how in the world are you doing YouTube? I mean, we just talk to the camera like it's one person. If I think about who all is behind it, I'd probably freak out. But, you know, we started off, I was already doing web design, SEO, and a lot of things with clients, mainly from home as it was. Marissa was a nurse, but still nursing has a lot of flexible options. We looked at travel nursing. We went the option where she, what we call it, batch nursing? I don't know.
Exactly. It was just a PRN position where I would come back and just batch all my shifts that I needed for the year. So we would travel for months at a time, come back to a home base.
So we could do 2 months.
Yeah, 2 to 3 months, come back to a home base. Mm-hmm. I would pick up my shifts, then we would go back out. But since then, you know, we've kind of transitioned over time into, we started just filming our travels because mm-hmm. that's how we got started is we found a video and we thought, wow, that video inspired us to live this lifestyle. So what if we were that video for other people? How could we help bring light to this community? And so we just started filming and then the YouTube grew and we saw a need and we saw that people enjoyed following along. And so over time we transitioned our old positions into doing full time with Less Junk, More Journey.
It was gradual. It was a year and a half maybe before we... I don't know when we officially, but it was definitely gradual and we didn't like, you know, 3 months in, just drop our jobs and everything we're doing and start doing too. I mean, it was definitely a lot of work, a lot of gradual work.
Now, you started off in an Airstream, correct?
So we've actually had 5 RVs. We've lived in 4
really?
Of them.
I'm aware of the big Airstream and I'm aware of your new one, but why don't you walk us through that and what you've learned in that process with all those different
So the wall and a half. So while in the house, my thought was, we never even RV'd before. We're like, let's go live in an RV. I was like, well, it might not be a bad idea to buy an RV. And so we bought this, it's an Earthbound Telluride travel trip. You ever heard of Earthbound? Like, there are very few of them. They're only like, they only made like 70 of them, but it's pretty cool. It looked like a little spaceship or something. But we bought the Earthbound. We tried it out, you know, for a couple of camping trips. So, you know, I kind of like this. But we need a bigger RV. And so we, instead of the 28-foot travel trailer we were testing, we went and bought a 43-foot fifth wheel. And we started with that. And I quickly realized I'd never driven anything like that. I was like, this is massive. So we had it for 3 months, 6 months, whatever. And I was like, that is way too huge. And then so we went down from that to like a 38-foot motorhome. And that's when we started filming on YouTube. So most people have never even seen the fifth wheel or the first travel trailer. They've seen a little bit of the motorhome. And then we went from the motorhome where like it's still 38 feet is doable, but that's getting into state parks, national parks, it was still a little bit big. So we went down to 31 feet with the Airstream. And that's most people kind of started with the Airstream. And we had that for 3 years, I guess, the Airstream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we've been in this fifth wheel maybe 7 months, something like that, that we got.
And how big is your fifth wheel now?
40 feet.
40 feet. That's still pretty big. That's
it's way different than the Airstream.
Now, you guys have had a rule. I saw on one of your videos that we have a rule. We have the 330 rule, which is no more than 330 miles in a day, or stop by 330, or both if you can, so you can enjoy the area. What is your 222 rule? What is that?
Well, the video, like, and we've heard of other people having the 222 rule that we talk about. It is similar to yours. It's, you know, don't arrive after 2 p.m., don't drive more than 200 miles, and try to stay at least 2 nights. That's the 222 rule. But our video is about, as well, like, especially when you have a family, like, it's okay to have the rule and have a goal. But, man, with a family and with things that happen, sometimes, like, in the video, we left thinking we might do the 222 rule, but instead the kids were falling asleep, and so we just ended up driving 7 hours into the night and going through Atlanta at night. You know, so like, we have this rule, but like with kids, sometimes you just go with the flow, and if they're asleep, you just roll with it. So I don't know.
It's just the two of us, and when we do the 3:30 rule, what we don't tell everybody is 3:30 in the morning can count too. It seems like, particularly like places like Atlanta, if it's 7 at night and traffic's good, we'll go right through it. But it's a goal. I get to go.
There you go. Yeah.
It is our goal. You know, when you started 5 years ago, as you said, there were not a lot of people doing this. And we were all just at Tampa together at the Tampa RV show. Were you as amazed as we were at how many other people are now, hey, we have a YouTube channel? I swear, every other person we met.
It's a lot. I remember the first year we were with Tampa, maybe 4 years ago, I guess, something like that. And we had our camera. I don't know that we bumped into much of anybody else, to be honest, in Tampa. But yeah, you can't. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot.
But
that's a good thing. I mean, people... And it's a growing movement as well. So I think that's not to say that, you know, there's not different niches you could even target more maybe than when we started.
I try to encourage people, though. I mean, because there are a lot of channels, but everybody has a different story to tell. And everybody has a different audience that they can connect with. I mean, we might not resonate with certain people, but...
Some people say our accent's like nails on a chalkboard.
It is what it is, but I always encourage people when they say that it's too saturated, it means it will be probably harder to be heard. But I mean, whether you affect, you know, one person's life or a million people in their life, I mean, we all have a story to tell, and I think every story is important. So I love that the YouTube channels are growing.
Yeah, I do too. I find that really encouraging, and it's tough. I think a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of talk now about when do you know when to come off the road, and we're starting to see that. Some people, you know, a year or 2 years or 3 years. We're starting our 9th year in just a couple of
weeks. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we feel like we're everybody's grandparents in our case. So the lessons that you would pass along to those who are at the same place you were when you were sitting on that couch in your home, and they're thinking about this lifestyle, what would you have them consider ahead of time, and your advice about starting it?
Whew, it's...
We have a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is about expectations. Mm-hmm. And so know that... your bad days are probably worse than you think they'll be, and your good days are probably better than you think they'll be. And you know, there's a lot that goes into that statement, expectations. And I think the other thing I talk about a lot too is just decision fatigue. It sounds ridiculous, but when you first start, realize that it's not, especially if you haven't RV'd a lot, you've got so many decisions. Where am I going to stay? How do I handle this RV? How do I possibly drive this RV I haven't driven before? You know, what am I going to do if something breaks on this RV? How do we meet people? I mean, you got, whereas if you live in a house with a 9-to-5, it's like, you know where you're going to be sleeping that night. You know your routine. You know where you're going. So that's something to me that sounds silly. We've had people say it's silly, but I think it's when you first start, you can. So the advice that goes with that is try to take it slower than you want to in the beginning. Because in the beginning, we meet people especially the first 3 months. Mm-hmm. It's like, go, 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 do, do, do. And then they wear themselves out or things are breaking. And then they just start questioning, why am I doing this?
But you're excited.
You are. I mean, you are. So it's tough. It's both sides of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot of expectation, and a lot for me is I tell people to know why you're doing it. Like, why are you doing this? What's your end game? You have to focus on that because it is hard to get discouraged or, you know, to think that there are some bad days. But I'm like, well, what's my end game? Why am I doing this? And I'm, you know, for us, we've chosen to do this so we can spend more family time together, so we can see the world. And so that's what I have to focus on, is all the good, and that what our end game for this travel lifestyle is.
I like your description of decision fatigue. You know, it's not that. It's like, you know, where's the nearest supermarket? You got to Google.
Exactly.
You got to ask somebody. You know, oh, I'm going to have to dump tanks in a couple of miles. Where am I going to do that? And they don't sell diesel at this day. And I think that you know, sometimes when they watch all of our videos, sometimes they see us like that, but they tend to focus on, oh, look at that beautiful scenery. Well, they don't realize that you may have been sitting there in rain and cold for 5-6 days until the weather cleared to get that pretty sun. So that's good. So you have two children. That has obviously changed a whole lot. But Ainsley, we've kind of watched Ainsley grow on your channel. She doesn't know any other life other than this.
I remember, where were we at? We went somewhere.
And my sister's?
What was it, a Christmas party? Maybe it was your sister's. Anyways, we went to somebody's house. She was, I don't know, 2, 3. She walked up to the front door and we're like, going in, Hensley. And she just kind of stood there looking at the door, kind of touching the doorknob. She didn't know how to use a doorknob. Like, so we'd always,
she'd always lived in an RV.
RVs have, you know, the latch door to be open. It was really like, we had a Class A and an Airstream. There aren't doorknobs in those things, the ones we had at least. So I think we have maybe 2 doorknobs in this fifth wheel. But yeah, a lot of your RVs don't even have doorknobs. So that's a pro tip. You know, your kids may not know what a doorknob is when they grow up.
You know, spoiler alert, she has learned how to use the doorknob. So,
she figured it out.
Yeah. but she lives a really cool lifestyle. She wakes up every day. And she's like, where are we going today? What are we doing? I mean, she has an adventurous spirit about her, and she loves meeting new people. So I think it's really cool getting to see the world through your kids' eyes. It's just something about watching their light bulbs go off and watching their eyes light up. You know, even showing up in Florida, this was JJ's first time, and he's like looking up, staring at the trees. You know, it's got moss hanging from it.
Yeah, a lot of oaks with moss coming down.
Yeah.
Just dying too. I'm still looking
up. Right? Yeah. So it's just like even the little things, just watching your kids just light up, and there's something special about it.
Every time we talk about life on the road, particularly with a family, I get lots of questions from people about homeschooling. And my daughter homeschools our 2 grandchildren. And so I know how much work that is, but I also know how much joy that is. She talks about it. Advice for folks that are thinking they would have to homeschool their kids. There are lots of resources out there, are there not?
There are. And I think that's what's really cool about homeschooling is there is something for everybody, and it's not a one size fits all. I mean, that's what's really neat is you can plan around what your kids' strengths and weaknesses are. It is very overwhelming in the sense that there are so many resources. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I guess for me, this is our first year. I never saw myself homeschooling before. So this is like a new adventure for me. And, you know, she's in kindergarten this year, so I'm trying to just take it slow. And I want her to enjoy learning. I want to teach her how to find answers. I think that's the most important thing we can like pass on is like, I'm not going to be there holding your hand, explaining everything the rest of your life. You need to figure out how to find these answers. So that's what's really great about homeschool is it's so hands-on. I mean, we're studying something and we can go to it and actually see it. You know, we watched a rocket launch today in Florida, or, you know, we're in sea caves in Maine looking at, you know, marine life or whatever it is. I mean, she gets a firsthand view of learning. And I just think there's something really incredible about that and something special about being on the road in an RV.
That's great. Last question is, how do you guys approach the end game? I mean, do you see an end to being on the road all the time? If you must talk about that. Do you make a decision every year? We're going to go another year. Mm-hmm. Looking, you know, as the kids grow, as you guys keep going, how have you thought about how long you want to keep doing this?
I mean, it's morphed. I know when we started, we said we will give this a year, and I'm glad we made ourselves make that decision, because I'm telling you, like, the first 6 months, there was a few times where tears were shed.
What have we done?
So I think it's good when you start to pick whatever that number is. It might be 6 months, a year, a decade, probably not a decade. You're going for a decade.
Yeah, for us, normal human beings.
That's awesome. The decade club. We don't meet.
Hey, I hope we're in the decade
club. We'll see. But we don't. I think it's about right. I think we plan the next year, like, in general, where we kind of want to go, what we want to do. So if we ever were going to come off the road, I think we would probably know maybe 6-12 months in advance to kind of prep for that. And I think for us, we've seen so many benefits of living small. It would be really tough to go back, at least to what we had before, with a large house and a 4-2 and the insurance overhead and the taxes overhead. And because, you know, it may morph over time where we are or what we're doing. You know, we kicked around overseas travel and some other stuff, but because we don't have too much overhead, and I know you've talked about flying in different places and getting RVs, and the flexibility's there because you just don't have too many commitments with that RV like you would with a house. It's one thing to put an RV in storage. It's another to find a way for somebody to watch your house for 2 months. I mean, it's two totally different animals.
Yeah.
We've made a commitment to each other too, that we're open and honest about where we are. Mm-hmm. And if ever we saw that this was something that one of us wasn't enjoying or it wasn't best for our kids, then we would make changes. But right now we're like, we absolutely love this. We don't know if that means an RV the rest of our life, but we have said, we know we always want to live small and we always want to travel, whatever that means. But that's kind of our inspiration to it all. And we might find different vessels or destinations at the end of that. But as long as we're happy as a family and we're all enjoying it and growing together, then we're going to keep going for it.
Well, that is very good news to all of us who follow you guys. And we have all become part of your family. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, about the power of YouTube, how much it really does build a community. And
it's like an extended family.
So we are glad that you're staying on the road. And we look forward, Jennifer and I do, to seeing you guys out there in person again and spending some time face-to-face around the campfire. And we'll help you hold that little JJ. Anybody needs a little help.
Hey, we'll take you up on that.
Yeah, we need a little kid fix every couple of weeks. So thank you guys so much for making time. I know our audience, most of them know who you guys are and have followed you. We're going to enjoy seeing you like this. And for those who didn't, I hope they run over. We'll put the links below in the description and they can learn all about less junk, more journey. Marissa, Nate, thank you guys so much for being on.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
No, like we said, we'll have links to Less Junk, More Journey, their YouTube channel, and their blog, all of that in the description below and in our podcast show notes. Thanks to Marissa and Nate for being on the program. And don't forget, there's a video version of this interview also on our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. And we've been trying to do the video versions as well. And we throw in lots of extra photos. And, you know, you might listen to it on the podcast, but you also want to see the video because the video has lots of extras in it, in the sense that you get to see what they're talking about and some of the issues that we raise and our questions and answers. So be sure and go to youtube.com/RV Lifestyle and you can see the video, or just look in the show notes, which we have the video embedded in the show notes, and that's at rvlifestyle.com/280. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at Sunshine State RVs. Hey, if you're in Florida, they will be at the Ocala RV Show. That's running the last weekend in February. You can see them there the 27th through the 29th in Ocala, Florida. Sunshine State RVs, Gainesville, Florida is where they're headquartered. They've been a sponsor of our podcast for a long time now. We are big fans of those. They sell a full line of small RVs. One of the largest places that you can see a bunch of different sized small motorhomes, Class B, Class C, B plus, new ones like the Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, Coachman, Coachman Galleria, the Coachman Beyond, American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. Now, if you're looking for a used RV. Sunshine State RVs has probably the largest inventory of used RV inventory anywhere in North America. You can deal with them online at sunshinestatervs.com. You can talk to Nick or Craig there from Sunshine State RVs. Go down and visit them in Gainesville, buy your RV, bring it home, or you can do the whole thing online on the phone, and they'll deliver that RV to your driveway. One of the things that we love to see about Sunshine State RVs is the care that they put each of their vehicles through. They all go through this really elaborate inspection system where they make sure all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test the RVs. They go over the interior, the outside. They're used RVs. This time, well, they take care of them. They're thoroughly clean. They're detailed inside and out. And then they go up on the roof, and if this RV has some cracks, they'll replace silicone caulking up there. That's how much care they make with these RVs. You check them out, sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, time now for our Off the Beaten Path report and our regular Off the Beaten Path report correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett. Have a great one for us this week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. When you leave Fort Worth, Texas on your way to Big Spring, you're likely to drive Interstate 20. Just past Sweetwater, you'll see a small airfield off to the north of the highway, and if you know what's there, you'll exit and pull into the lot at Avenger Field. This is the site of the National WASP World War II Museum, a collection that honors the contributions made to aviation by determined and courageous women flyers in that great and tragic war.
Avenger Field first served as a training center for British pilots, but shortly became the center for the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, the WASPs, and by 1943 was populated entirely by female trainees and a few male instructors. More than 1,800 of them passed through flight training here, and over 1,000 of those earned their wings. For the most part, women pilots were employed ferrying aircraft cross-country. Despite repeated efforts by generals and senators, the women were not admitted to military service and, at the end of the war, returned to civilian life without benefits.
The museum is great. There's a recreated dormitory where you can see what life was like for the trainees, along with letters home and some of the fashions and accessories of the day. There are several aircraft on display and a good collection of uniforms and flying gear. Most prominent, though, is the story of the service itself, told with timelines, interviews, newspaper reports, and correspondence. Although assignments, compensation, and recognition improved for these flyers as the war went on, the tireless efforts of founder Jackie Cochran and commanding general Hap Arnold did not win them military status.
One of the fun exhibits of the field is Fifi Nella. This tiny winged woman was designed by Walt Disney for an adaptation of Roald Dahl's book, The Gremlins. The film was never made, but the WASPs asked Disney for permission to use her as their mascot, and he agreed. She appears painted on airplane fuselages, enameled pins, and knitted into service patches on WASP uniforms. Among the several planes on display are a UC-78 Bobcat and a Texan AT-6. You can hear an interview with WASP pilot Beverly Bessemeyer, one of several to tow targets behind her plane so ground troops could take target practice with live rounds.
Whatever your age or outlook, the stories told here are inspiring and thought-provoking and provide a glimpse into life during another age of our national development. While you're there, don't miss seeing the Congressional Gold Medal awarded to the service in 2010 and accompanied by an order that all remaining WASPs should receive full military benefits for their service. On the ground or in the air, there are stories flying around out here off the beaten path.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Harvest Hosts, a network of farms, wineries, museums, and attractions where RVers can stay overnight for free. And because you're a listener of the RV podcast, we can save you 15% off their normal cost for membership if you use the special coupon code HHFriends15 when you check out through our special link to Harvest Hosts. That's rvlifestyle.com/harvesthosts, all one word, rvlifestyle.com/harvesthosts for 15% off. Check them out.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.